And as we have been sharing together in the light of our history, in the light of this particular weekend, in the light of July 4th, in the light of our 250th year under this republic. So perhaps we look to the Lord, our Father and God, Spirit of God, help us as we've proceeded this far. Help us understand that we might have the benefit personally, that we might have the personal benefit of your saving grace even now. And our God, we're looking to you to make it and work it out for us. Spirit of God, thanks a lot. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise of late, we have shared, starting Wednesday, and then going to Sunday school, and now to this. One, two, three, we're in the third part of our looking at the founding of our country. So, picking up that little bit, if we can, and reminding ourselves in God's wonderful grace that God has to go and help us. And remember that we share together. You have to have all. Christ died on the cross, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So before God created everything, God, you had a wonderful plan. It required your death. Now, what's the reason? God, you're going to create angels, and angels are going to have choice. You're going to create humans. They're going to have choice. And therefore, there's no surety that it's going to come out. So God, and you know already before the experiment takes place, you know what's going to happen. So what are we going to do in this outworking of history? God, you're going to show by our choice that you're absolutely right, that you are indispensable. So when us humans and all creation try to exclude you, you can't. You cannot exclude God. That's the point. And God said, I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove it to you. So, and God created angels. Remember, we did all these things. And Satan fell, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, all of these things. And Satan fell. And he chose. They chose a whole bunch of, and we did all this. And God and a whole bunch of angels chose to go with him. They chose negatively. They could have said, positively, they were created to enjoy God. But that whole bunch of them said, no, we're going to follow Satan. And thus, when they did that, they lost their relationship to God, the same as Satan did. And so they are there. And in Matthew 25, and in verse 41, looking at it, and, well, you can turn there just to stay awake, keep you busy. What do we know? Isaiah 25, and in verse 41. Then, I'll let you get there. Isaiah 45, in God's judgment, and in the judgment on his return of the judgment of the nations. The judgment of the nations is based upon what? Upon Satan's judgment. And therefore, verse 41. Then, 25, 41, Matthew. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, and ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And the whole point now is judgment. Why? And remember, up till this point, as far as we know, God's awesome character. He is just and a judge. But there's no way to see his judgment. There's no way to see his anger because there's nothing to be angry with. Until that, the day Lucifer, son of the morning, decided in pride to think he could be like God. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, so all the angels are judged. Now the judgment of God, which is they can question, challenge, God, you never should. What are you doing, God, judging? And God's going to show his wonderful judgment. And in order to help angels, he creates, and in the whole process, he creates humans. Humans have choice again. And humans have choice. And choice, Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, wonderful. But then the devil said, why does God keep you from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why does he do that? So that he keeps you from what? Knowing good and evil, Genesis 3:5. Knowing good and evil. Don't you want to know like he knows? Yeah. So they disobeyed God. And in the process, they chose negatively. And thus, all in the line of Adam pay a price. Now, what's that mean? Translate that down to us here and now. So now, having said that, here's all the nations. Cain builded a city, and all the people that are born are under Cain and his influence. That builds to Genesis 6 and all of the great hosts on planet Earth, except for Noah and his family, and Genesis 6. And Genesis 6 ends up with a Genesis flood. Genesis flood, humans come after Genesis flood, Genesis 8, and humans, what's proven? What's proven? The old sin nature that came from Adam and is now in all of Noah and his sons is still there. So, and they still have choice. They have the right to choose God. But in Genesis 6, they didn't. Noah did, but they didn't. They didn't do that. So now, here in Genesis 11, what do they do? They built a tower and a city. And the tower and the city, religion, the city, politics, religion, politics. And God judged them. And he didn't judge them like in Genesis 6. He scattered them. So they could not, each nation, for all of its variations, could be free from the other nations. So every nation could choose. They didn't have to have a tower and a city. They didn't have to have the politics and the religious systems that leave God out. But they did. They did have it. And therefore, so here Genesis 10, we got a whole bunch of nations under the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, 2 Corinthians 4. And remember, he's the God of this world. And he's the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. He's the boss. Now you know he's the boss because Matthew chapter 4, well, you're in Matthew, might as well go, you're not far away. Matthew in chapter 4. And go over, and you'll note. And in chapter 4, the devil tests our Lord. And in the process, picking up in the test, the third one, chapter 4, verse 8. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, all of the nations, all the way around this circle, the planet Earth, and the glory of them, Rome and Egypt and all of it. Verse 9, and saith unto him, All things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. If you fall down and worship me, I will give you all of these things. Now, and in the process, therefore, keep in mind in the process, in doing it, God, he's going to go and offer him all the kingdoms. And he could be the boss. But then you'd have to worship the devil, which is the whole point. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. I want to be like God. I want to have the worship that you get, God. Now, having said that, and therefore, in chapter 4, verse 9, and saith unto him, all things that will I give thee, if thou fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, slide down the corridor of time, way back, that's back then, slide into the Middle Ages, and slide down as you get down the corridor of time. Now, when do nations come under God? Question mark. When, which nation? Turn the pages of history. Which nation comes under God? Apart from Israel, which nation? There is no nation. They're all under the what? The power of the devil. Now, and so when you turn the pages of history, what do you know? We're waiting for the tribulation. What's the tribulation? Genesis 6:1. He's going to come as a prince, a ruler, coming up to take over. And chapter 13, the whole world's going to worship him. So therefore, when they founded the Constitution in 1776, they're looking out at history, and the whole world is governed by him, including King George and England. They're all being governed by the god of this world, the devil. Right now, that's where we are. So therefore, what do you want to do? They wanted to choose. They wanted to choose to believe God. They came as pilgrims to worship God. In the Great Awakening and all of that, 1700s, and all of that returned back to God. They trusted God. And in the process, God went and did a wonderful thing. And they went and chose, as we've been looking at, in the light of the Constitution. Here we are. And remember now I showed it at 6 o'clock in Sunday school. There's a copy of the Declaration. And this is right here. Right here. Constitution, Declaration. And remember, we can't do all that we did. The Constitution is done in order to support the Declaration. That's why you have the Constitution, to support the reality of the Declaration. The Constitution isn't an accident. It had to be in order to support the Declaration, to have the right. And it's a one, I can't do all that again. Reason. Human reason. We're morally responsible. Everyone, I am, I will, I ought, we're responsible. And human reason. Constitution recognizes human reason. We are responsible as we did all that. And in the same time, the Constitution recognizes the Bible, the revelation. So reason, it answers a practical living on planet Earth in the United States, and at the same time, honoring God's word at the same time, not contradicting, so that you can honor God and honor your citizenship without contradicting anything, because it's made for this. It's made to do it. Now, so keep in mind that and all of that. So now here we are looking. And God raises up the pilgrims and all of that. that we share together. And in the process, all of it has to be done in order to honor God. God has to be at the beginning and at the end. I'm giving you a choice to verify, to prove what. If you leave me out, it won't work. If you leave me out of your life, it won't work. And grab that ahead of time over to 1 Corinthians 15. And 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. And you will remember. And 1 Corinthians 15, picking up, please, if I can. And you'll remember it. And our Lord's, when our Lord has finished everything, and everything is put in order at the end of the kingdom, 1,000 years, he turns around and presents it all in his perfect humanity. He presents it all to the Father. And therefore, verse 27, 15, 27. 1 Corinthians 15, 27. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest, made obvious, clear, plain, that he has accepted, which did put all things under his feet. In other words, our Lord is the Son of God. So he's the one that made salvation possible. And when, verse 28, when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also in his perfect humanity, also himself be subject unto God, that put all things under him, purpose that God may be all in all. That God is God. He's the creator. And that's why you're created and you have choice to prove what? To go, like we shared all these things. Robots, God doesn't want robots. He doesn't want chickens or ants. They don't worship him. You worship him. You're made to worship him. Not your cat or your dog. You're made to worship him. To worship him. And you're made with that wonderful choose to do so. If you choose not to, you're going to prove what? That's why I had to go to the cross, to save you. Because you choose negative. So having choice, you aren't going to come out very good. Because you can't hang in there. I'm going to do good. I'm going to go do good. But you get tired of doing good. You get tired of thinking very high and holy. And we get tired of doing it. And our old nature prevails. And that's what we do. Just look at you. Think of our own lives. How enthusiastic, how thrilled are you? You're in the presence of God. You are to enjoy, as we're going to do in a moment, his wonderful life, as we've been doing, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To what measure are you enjoying those wonderful truths, his wonderful life, his wonderful liberty, to free, to live the life? Are you enjoying it? Excited? Show me the excitement out there in the world. We're out on the 4th of July, all of those wonderful things. But do you understand? It's short-lived. 4th of July weekend and the fireworks, they're all gone. All gone. Back to the normal. Eat your pizza and relax. You're all done because it's finished. That's the trouble. Your choice. You don't make good choices. You make negative. You don't mean to do it. And unless I die on the cross, then unless we read in chapter 15 that God may be in everything God. Hang on. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so here's the pilgrims. And here they are going down the corridor of time as we shared all that. So in the light, and looking at the declaration, as we have chapter 1, first paragraph, we looked at that. And in the second paragraph, we hold these truths to be self-evident, self-evident, you don't need any explanation, and we shared all that in the light of God's word. So God, what are you going to do? So you're going to give, pursue these truths, which are very obvious. They're looking to the Bible. They're looking. They're looking to get to understand the Bible. That's what we've done all this. So you know that. They are looking out there. They know all about the nations. They know the different governments. They know Rome. They know Germany. They know England. They know Spain. They know the governments. They don't want the governments. The God of this world is running them. They came pilgrims in the recovery of a great awakening to turn to God. God, we want your word. We want to have the benefits of all that you've made possible in our creation, because of our creation. So therefore life, and we looked at that, and liberty, wonderful, wonderful liberty as we did that. Now, slide over, life, that's what God meant us to have it, and it isn't your life now, going to live up and down the street, breathing. No, we already have that. What were they looking for? They weren't looking for the life they already had. And remember now, because they're going to go and sign that declaration. And when they sign that declaration, that is rebellion against the king, against England, and the death sentence, treason. You're all going to die. If you lose the war, you're all going to die for being treason. So, man, they weren't signing that for the fun of it. And they knew the odds, as we shared before, were against them beating England, etc. Now, so therefore, looking to God, and God gives us wonderful liberty. And we shared that together in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 17 and 18. God gives us a wonderful freedom to enjoy God's wonderful person in God's wonderful, wonderful way. So we're to enjoy God's wonderful person, to enjoy the life of liberty. So therefore, over if we would to James, picking up, if I may, the book of James, and we're looking at the liberty. And what were they looking for? They, God give them life. God gives them liberty, freedom to live that life. Otherwise, you aren't free, you're in bondage. So you need to have freedom to live that life in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So in James, and if I can, in James chapter 1, and you remember, as you would know, God gives us his wonderful word. Picking it up, if I may, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Sliding down, verse 25. And whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. So as we're reading God's word and looking at God's word, it sets us free and continueth not therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So as long as we keep looking to God's word, we're trusting in God's word, in God's way, in God's time, we're going to keep being blessed. So we're going to keep having freedom in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Therefore, in God's wonderful grace, we're going to go and what? Have freedom. Now, what are we going? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And happiness, you'll remember, M. Webster, Noah Webster, over there in Hartford or something, and he did three times the English language in a dictionary at 18, and then he did it again, 45, whatever, and then he did it in 70, he did 30. Each time, expanded it. This is what they're looking at, that dictionary. Noah Webster is giving them the definition of words. So therefore, happiness, the agreeable sensations which spring from the enjoyment of good the agreeable sensations which enjoy the freedom, which enjoy and the enjoyment of good, I should say. To enjoy God, to enjoy good, adjective good, and noun. Oh, and I sound stable, wonderful, work wonderful, improve, and to enjoy a prosperous existence in a most wonderful, wonderful way, to enjoy that wonderful, wonderful life. That's what you want us to have. That's right. Over to Romans, and Romans in chapter 2. And you'll remember, Romans in chapter 2, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't mean you have it. It means you can go for it because you're free to look to God. You aren't in slavery. You're free to look to God. So therefore, pursue. If you're tied up and in bondage, mentally and otherwise, what are you going to pursue? You're not going to go anywhere. You've got to be free. And Christ has set us free and given us liberty. The truth will set you free, John 8:32. So we have truth and we have freedom. To what? To pursue the outworking of God's wonderful will, the happiness. It isn't guaranteed. It's there for us. It's there for us to pursue it. God's will for our life. Pick it up, if I can. Romans in chapter 2. Romans in chapter 2, going if I may. I'll go directly to verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? God's good, wonderful will to be outworked in your life in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God has a wonderful plan, and the wonderful plan has to be exercised. So therefore, we seek to God's will in God's way, in God's time. And to that which you know, but they would read the same thing you and I do. They read it, and they can think about it, and that's what they want that to do. To pursue, looking into the perfect law of liberty, I'm looking, God, and it tells me how to do it and how to proceed. Over if I can, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2. And, again, you know all this, but chapter 2, what would you read? What did they read? Chapter 2. If I can. And you'll pick up if I can. In verse 8, for by grace, chapter 2, verse 8 of Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not, we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, we can't ever. It's just something God gives us for reason, when we receive Christ as our Savior. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. For happiness, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the way to go. God's good. The enjoyment of God and his goodness. Yep. So that's what we want to do. And in chapter 1, Ephesians, verse 3, what's it going to do? It's going to give us wonderful blessing. For blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God has a wonderful plan to be outworked for the human heart. So when the human heart chooses God and trusts God and looks to God, that's what they did in the signing of the Declaration. The 13 colonies, they did that. So what? To look to God for the outworking of God's good will for the nation. And it worked for a while, but then, like all things, us humans fail and go downhill. Downhill. And now and then, we have an opportunity to see it and try to straighten it out. The 250th anniversary. We have an opportunity to see it and straighten it out. Besides the fireworks, to straighten it out. So therefore, in the light of that, over to Romans 8. And what do we know? The outworking of God's good will in God's good way. And God does what he does, as only he can do it. So God, you got to help us. So now, here's Romans chapter 8. You know what? But just think of it. If you're a believer, and you know the Lord, and you're looking to God, and you're free, I'm free to read. What do you got? What, all right? God, you have a wonderful plan for my life. Thank you. And chapter 8, picking up in the light of the context, verse 28. But we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, everything isn't good, but God works it out to good. The pursuit of happiness. It doesn't say everything's wonderful. It says you have a right to pursue the good and the enjoyment of God's wonderful grace. That's what they understood. That's what they're looking for. It isn't that you won the lottery. It isn't that. No. You have the right to enjoy God's wonderful presence in a very personal, wonderful, dependent way, to look to God. So therefore, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So here we are. God gives the advantage, and we are able to go and look to God to outwork his wonderful will in our life. The good that God has. The good that God has for us. To know a good God in a good way. To trust him. So therefore, looking God. So here's the result of God's wonderful working and the wonderful influence on our life. And God does this, what result? Now God, how does it work out for us practically? Over to 1 John, where we've been doing in the study in the morning. 1 John, and in chapter 1. And you'll remember. And in 1 John, in chapter 1, read it, but now put it together. What are you, God, what are you writing? In the light of the Gospel of John, 21 chapters, believe and know that I have come to have you have life. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful life. Now, having said that, John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, and this kind of life, going to verse 3 in the light of the context, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, purpose, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Peter, James, and John, you're the only one on earth, the others have all died, but we have what? We're in the same family, same fellowship, same Father, same life, same love. We're in the same, it's all the same, we enjoy it, yeah. So here we are, we fellowship with each other. The fellowship we have here is the same fellowship we have up there. We just can't enjoy it in a practical way. So therefore, God, what do you got? Verse 4, then these are things are written, these things write we unto you, that you might wonder how to live the rest of your life. Doesn't say that. That your joy may be full. When? Now. When? Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Yeah. To know the good. The outworking of the good. So in the process, and therefore, verse 7, we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now we don't have to sit and I'm going to be a gooder person. I'm going to do everything better, better, better. No, I'm not going to do it better. I'll never do it better. My old nature will never do it. What am I supposed to do? Enjoy God's saving grace in your heart and say thank you. You're already there, as we've been sharing in 1 John. You already have a wonderful benefit of God's presence in your heart. If you received him as your Savior, exercise it. You don't have to make it work. You don't have to work at it. It's just there. So don't go. And we got an old nature. I'm not going to I'm not going to have to debate, talk about, discuss this whole subject. No, I don't. No. No. I already have. We already have a relationship. And the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing me from all those thoughts that come through my mind. Who knows this? How do you know that? What about this? What about that? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to do? All of those things are there. And they are there. But they aren't going to hold me to what? To lose what? All things work together for good. And as I walk in the light, I see the reality. And the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing me, cleansing us from all sin. So we don't have to sit there and beat ourselves to death and try to analyze it. How good is your mind? Say, my IQ, I'm trusting my brains. Good. And when you're done trusting your brains, we'll put them to what? To dust. That's how good your brains are. To dust. Your brain, your blood, your heart. Everything goes to dust. You're going to trust everything? You're crazy. What are you trusting? Oh, I'm trusting, right? What a poor boy you want to say. You want to cry out to God, help me, save me from myself. I'm my worst enemy. So don't do that. Don't try to help God. Just relax. The declaration. What do you want us to know? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are truth. It's truth to be exercised and enjoyed. That's what they knew. That's what they were to enjoy in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, if I can, over to enjoy, walk in the light. And don't try to help God. Why don't you just say, thank you, God, for saving me and all the dumb thoughts. The darkness of my heart is to find what? The light of your presence. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Christ brings to my heart, to your heart, light. To light the darkness. The darkness is there. Do it a different way. You're in the room. You're in your special closet. And make believe it in a house where you store everything. Like Fibber McGee. So you store all the stuff in the closet, right? You just throw it in, pile of stuff. And so you go in the closet, and there's everything there. Now, everything's there in the closet. Yep. Now, I'm going to shut the door, and it's dark. And it's all there. Now, what am I going to do? If I turn the light on, what happens to the darkness? If I turn the light on, where did the darkness go? It's gone. Everything in the closet is right where it was before when you were in the dark. The only difference is you see it. You see, God turns the light on to see your old nature, your habits, your faults, the way you think, the way you feel, what you do. It's all there. It always is there. But in the light, you see it. And so you tend not to want to, I'm not going to trust my stupid self about that. I only worry about it. I worry and want, and I don't enjoy the happiness. God meant me to be able to enjoy good. All things work together for good. They are working of good. Over to Deuteronomy. God said the same thing to Israel, as you would remember always. Chapter 30, Deuteronomy, chapter 30, said the same thing to Israel that we've been looking at. God help us to see it. And in the process, chapter 30, Deuteronomy, chapter 30, I'm going to go directly to verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day. This is before they crossed the Jordan. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. I tell you what to do. Don't choose death. Choose life. That's what to do. Make your choice. I'm telling you how to do it. Don't choose the glass with the poison. Choose the glass that's going to give you health. Drink of that glass, as it were. So therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. And by the way, how long? And the length of thy days, as long as he is, you is. That's all. That's why it's called eternal life. Your relationship is to him. And since that relationship can't end, neither can your life end. He is your life. Colossians 3. Therefore, the end of verse 20, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you a wonderful land. And while you're in Deuteronomy, over to chapter 8. And in chapter 8, all the way to do it, Deuteronomy, chapter 8, if I may. Chapter 8, Deuteronomy, verse 7. This is Israel. They had the same thing. They just didn't enjoy it. Chapter 8, verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains of depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines, fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of olive, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest take brass. Only what's the problem? When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Happiness, life, liberty, pursuit of good. But the problem, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in all keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast, then thine heart, verse 14, be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. You forget me. That's what you're going to prove, God. You're going to prove what? If I don't die on the cross, no one's going to make it. Because I am able to save you because you choose me. You choose me. And you're going to keep choosing me for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if you don't choose me, it's all gone. That's what's happening in our country. It's being eaten up. Being eaten up. Why? The God of this world system doesn't want this to be alive and well. He doesn't want the Declaration of Independence to be practiced and enjoyed. And the whole world system is against this. As it was in the days when they signed this document, when they signed the document, it's still against us. The difference is we aren't the place that they were. We got remnants of believers that are trying to stay healthy. But generally, the church system is going the wrong way. And at least we want to be trying. It's the 4th of July. And it isn't about the 4th of July. It's about you, God. They may put this aside. And they want to. They want to get rid of the Constitution, and thus the Declaration. They want to get rid of it. They hate it. No wonder. I understand. They hated God. But we cherish it. And I'm going to put it in my Bible. My Bible. Where's the Declaration? It's safe in God's Word and by heart. The wonderful truth of the Declaration is in my heart. And so therefore, I got to quit. But we're trying to end tonight. You're getting a little bit. I'm trying to understand what is not understood. And if it was understood, the people, if someone explained this to me, what it is, meant, and opens the Bible, boy, I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get saved. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust God. I'm no messing around. Anyway, I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Our Father and God, thank you for your word and your grace. Thank you. Thank you that that truth, the wonderful truths of your word, life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, God, we're able to pursue your wonderful will for our life, the wonderful outworking of your good. So deal with our heads and hearts as we fumble along, God, just trying to understand in a world that of darkness, we want to walk in the light as thou art in the light, that we can enjoy what you say, so that all that we think and all that we feel and all that we fear is put aside and becomes powerless to it, powerless because we're in the light, and the light reveals your wonderful saving grace. So thank you very, very much. Thank you very much. Deal with our country, even in these days, that God make it a blessing to have some measure, some recovery, if you would. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.